here we go. And we are live and recording on both the audio and video on the computer and also on the telephone. If you're on the telephone, you'd like to ask a question tonight, please feel free to text to 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. We'll have this standing by for any text messages tonight. If you're online with us, you know that you can go to your Ustream account, and we've got live texting going on. I often address questions if they show up, so please, if you've got a question, just put one in the chat room, and we'll address that one during the event as well. It's great to be here. We love these conversations on Tuesday night, the celebration of life, an opportunity to take a look at the six qualities of an intentional creator. Those who are with us on the line have been through coaching programs, either personal coaching and or through larger group coaching. We come back here for refresher courses. Every time we cycle back through these qualities, we approach them a little bit differently. I'm seeking some guidance, if you will, using the principles of mental rehearsal and inspiration and exploration and planning, goal setting, to get inspired ideas to make each one of these sessions relevant to today. This one is such an important one. It's the last of the six qualities of self-esteem. It is typical, as we're going through this process, we start and we see self-esteem and we might question our worth and our worthiness, whole and complete. We might question our ability, the confidence measurement. Valiant, we may question our belief systems. That's not unusual. As we're going through each one of these measurements, we might have some doubts or concerns. We might feel like we need to sacrifice our time and our energy and even our well-being to somehow prove that we're okay. We might have some questions about whether we should even be on this planet. That would be unconditional. That particular measurement can be very sensitive. If you've got your assessment out and take a look at it, let's pay attention to that one tonight. So as we go through these measurements, this is the dialogue we have with ourself about ourself. And one of the questions that's asked if you have one of these measurements out of balance is this one. If I said half the things to you that we allow these thought processes to say to us, could we still be friends? I think it's time, as we're going through this process, to become ever increasingly aware of what dialogue we entertain. I still remember the day that I caught myself saying, "You are so stupid." I went, "Wow." And in that moment, I was conscious of the fact I'd been saying that for years, maybe decades. And all of a sudden, hearing it, I thought, no wonder, it's so toxic. There are a couple of scrolls that can give us guidance. One of them we're going to start studying again next week when we go into the art of connection. But it's a beautiful one for us to reflect on because it's dealing with love, agape love, a heightened level of awareness. And one of the places that not only do we pay attention to others, but in the end, we want to make sure that we're loving ourselves, because Og actually says it that way, and most of all, I will love myself. And the reason why we love ourselves is so that we can be fully available to serve another. You see, if we're questioning our worth and our worthiness and our ability, and we're questioning our belief systems, and we're all this dialogue that's going on, we're so preoccupied with us that it's hard for us to be available and listen to and serve another person. However, if we love ourselves and we're whole and complete and we're comfortable in our own skin, we're totally available. We don't need to think about us. We can now turn all of our attention to the service of others. And I might add, that's why the first quality is connection, because as we're practicing connection with others, we're actually healing our self-esteem. He says, and most of all, love myself, for when I do, I will zealously inspect all things which enter my body, my mind. And he says, he puts my at the beginning of each one of these to emphasize it. He could have said my body, soul, mind, heart. He said my body, my mind, my soul, and my heart. Never will I overindulge the requests of the flesh. Rather, I will cherish my body with cleanliness and moderation. Never will I allow my mind to be attracted to evil and despair. Rather, I will uplift it with the knowledge and wisdom of the ages. Never will I allow my soul to become complacent and satisfied. Rather, I will feed it with meditation and prayer. Never will I allow my heart to become small and bitter. Rather, I will share it, and it will grow and warm the earth. I'll greet this day with love in my heart, with agape love. Og's telling us that the very first way, or one of the ways for us to start to heal self-esteem, is to share our heart. And the way we do that, we talked about in Quality One, which we'll go into depth next week. We take those things out of our sack, all those burdens we've been carrying, all that frustration and overwhelm and sadness. And we let go of the shame, we let go of the guilt, we let go of the resentment, the resistance, and we just hold those things up here and we put them in our heart. So they're reference points. It's like a lens through which we will see other people's lives and have a greater understanding of what they're going through. We will share our heart. That's how we share it. And it will warm the earth. Very few people are listening these days. And as we see all those things that have been wearing us down, all those doubts and fears, we realize, gosh, is anybody else suffering from a similar wound? The answer is absolutely yes. And so we use our life experience, our frustrations, even the ones we've had with ourselves, to better understand how someone else might be feeling about themselves. That's the first one. Now, the scroll that we're going to study this week is scroll number 4. This one is just packed with all kinds of counsel. Og tells us that within me burns a flame passed down from generations uncounted, and its heat is a constant irritation to my soul to be better than I am. I will fan these flames of dissatisfaction and proclaim my uniqueness to the world. Then he makes a comment in the scroll that is so powerful, and it's germane to becoming an intentional creator. He writes this. He said, I'm not on this earth by chance. I'm here for a purpose. And that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink to a grain of sand. Henceforth, I will apply all my efforts to become the highest mountain of all, and I will strain my potential until it cries for mercy. And he goes on later to say, we're not in competition with others. The competition we're in is with ourselves. We're taking the clay we've been given, this clay, and we are choosing to create the most we can with our clay, the highest mountain of all, with the clay that we have been given. Well, let's get clear on our objective. We're going through this discussion tonight about self-esteem. The objective is quite simple. Dr. Hartman, Robert S. Hartman, PhD in mathematics, in philosophy, a JD, spoke numerous languages, read numerous languages, brilliant scientist. He distilled it down to a simple statement. He said, the objective, our objective is to be. To be. And he defined it real, genuine, and authentic, without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. He said, this is the most difficult task in our mortal existence. So if we're having struggles with self-esteem, just know this is the most difficult task. And he punctuated with these words, the highest level of maturity. Isn't that interesting? I used to think maturity had something to do with age, and it has nothing to do with age. It has to do with being real and genuine and authentic. When we're comfortable in our own skin, whole and complete, fully available to serve others. That is the highest level of maturity. And sadly, that would suggest we've got some work to do as a society, because it's hard for us to be in this space. And few there are that are fully here all the time. That would be my objective. Would it be yours to be able to be here more often? This is where we find the joy. So let's walk through each one of these words so that we understand them. If you have a paper and a pen, write down the word real, real, R-E-A-L. Real has the root meaning of relationships. It's about being able to connect with another person. It's about shifting from focus on self to focus on others. That's what it means to be real. To be focused on other people, serving them. So that's the real part. The genuine part, we've been talking about when we went through physical creation, when we're in passion-driven action and we're no longer procrastinating, because we are actually embracing our genius, our natural gifts all of the time. We've taken off the covering, the sham, if you will, like the pillow sham, the shame, and we are showing up in all of our natural gifts. This isn't about ego. This isn't about trying to impress anybody with how great we think we are. This is bringing all that we have to the table of service. The magnificence with which we can do tasks and lift and build and create value everywhere we go to contribute to the world. We can do this at such a powerful level if we will own our gifts, our natural genius or genus, and be genuine. So to be real, relationships focused on others. Genuine, owning our gifts. Not to show them off, to have them fully available when we're fully available to serve. And lastly, authentic, anthosectic, which means being your true self. Your true self. This is a tender one. Because sometimes we think, well, that's just my personality is this, or I just need to be right because I am right, or I'm just a rebel without a cause. We all kinds of things we can say. Truly, if we're going to be authentic, we are going to embrace our natural goodness. We're going to do the right things for the right reasons because we want to get to and choose to. It's called acting on our own moral authority. We're choosing to be good. Isn't that interesting? Now, I'm not going to measure that in like morality. I'll let you make those decisions, but we're embracing our goodness. And part of that goodness is that we actually care about other human beings. They matter. That's part of this process of being authentic. We are physiologically built to connect. We have the capacity to feel what somebody else is feeling. It's through the process of a mirror neuron in our fight or flight center, this overabundance of mirror neurons that are picking up all kinds of information instead of going through the thalamus, being processed in the optic center, seeing them. They're going back directly to the amygdala, to that fight or flight center, picking up all kinds of information, facial expressions, tenor, tone of our voice, amazing pieces. And in doing so, we're feeling. It's releasing molecules, sends a signal to the brain, releases molecules in the body, and at a cellular level, viscerally, we are feeling what someone else is feeling. This is very powerful. This is why when someone is telling a story, or we watch a child being brought out of a well, remember when we saved the child from the well, there's this emotional moment when we're watching these true stories and we see someone's suffering and we feel emotion. We get this kind of choked up feeling, get our heart in our throat. That's because those mirror neurons are picking up that sensory data. We're actually feeling at a cellular level what somebody else is feeling. This is a wonderful piece. This is when we're being authentic. We can become anesthetized to these feelings. Alcohol abuse, drug abuse, rebellion, resentment, when we choose to be authentic, we embrace this goodness, this thing we're built to do. We act on our own moral authority. We make the choice to embrace our goodness. And it opens up an entire world to us. That's being authentic. So being real and genuine, authentic, being those things, actually present in the moment, being those things. Then he says, without the need to impress. Impress is when we want to make something look bigger than it actually is. So we have this thing and we try to make it look bigger. I think we've all probably done this a little bit, but isn't it wonderful when we're around someone who has no need to do this? They're just real. They're genuine. They're authentic. What you see is what you get. There's no need to impress anyone. So impressing, when we're impressing, it's generally an overcompensation. It's a big word, but just write overcompensation for a lack of esteem of ourselves. We're questioning our own worth. We're questioning our own ability. So to feel better about ourselves, we'll make a big deal about something to help us feel better about us. Isn't that interesting? Number two is to pretend. That's to basically tell a lie, to act like something is other than it actually is. This is something almost everyone is doing in the world today. We're dragging around that sack, and we're holding up that I'm okay look. And pretending I'm okay. We seem to think that's noble. Maybe we don't want to be a burden to someone else, or we don't want anybody to really know how bad things really are. And so we pretend. That's not being real and genuine and authentic. We can't connect with another person when we show up with a facade. We end up in a facade-to-facade conversation, very superficial. We want to connect with a person, really connect. Got to let go of this piece, this desire to pretend. That doesn't mean we need to tell someone our sad stories. This is a very important piece. We don't say, well, my world's falling apart. No, we don't do that. We just let go of the need to impress and pretend. We just show up, okay. Okay, real, genuine, authentic. Truth is what it is. And then we can really hear. People can discern when we're being real. When we're not pretending, when we're not impressing. The other one that can kill us is fear. Oh my goodness, can paralyze us. Fear, acronym, false evidence appearing real. That's from an unknown author. It just means that we got a little of that cortisol surging in our body. Our intuition's picking it up that something's wrong. And so that just causes even a bigger and more chronic release of cortisol. So it reads, that intuition reads something even bigger is wrong. We can create stories, catastrophizing it's called, endless worst case scenarios that can have us spinning down into the depths of hell within just a short period of time. And we can even react based on those stories because that particular thought process, we'll talk more about this in a few weeks. If you've been with us, we know them as systemic thoughts. They process in all or nothing, right or wrong, win or lose. So when we vividly visualize something awful happening to the mind, that's the truth. And it might have been somebody's glance. They just gave us a glance, and we read into it something that wasn't true. And before you know, we think they hate us and hate our family, and they don't. And all of a sudden, we're reacting to them as if that's true. Or we're sending that email we wish we could pull back after it's been sent. Or the word we say. Something we say and we wish we wouldn't have to, or they're going, I don't get it. What's the big deal? That's what fear does to us. It creates this worst case scenario, this false evidence appearing real. Now, we're not talking about real and present danger, such as an abusive relationship or a rattlesnake, or someone's pointing a gun at our head. That's a different kind of fear. We're talking about fear that's created by catastrophizing, thinking about worst-case scenarios. Some people actually live in this fear-ready, warlike-ready state. We can become so addicted to it. Marty Seligman, Dr. Seligman, wrote about this in Pessimistic Thinking. We can actually become addicted to pessimistic thinking. Because when it doesn't turn out as bad as we thought it was going to be, we get this sense of relief. We get that norepinephrine rush or that dopamine rush. All of a sudden, we're feeling really good about life because it didn't turn out as bad as we thought it would be. This is habitual. This is a habit of thinking that's so destructive. Because to get to the happy part, we have to go through the cortisol part. We have to go through the worst-case scenario. And we know that at age 65, 95% of the pathology that shows up is a direct result of the chronic release of cortisol. It's from the habitual activity of fear, of constantly worrying, as Og says, about those things that may never come to pass. We waste today. We waste today worrying about tomorrow, the day in which we could actually create a different outcome. And if we're worrying about tomorrow today, we'll probably create a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's why fear is so dangerous. So we want to be real, genuine, authentic without the need to impress, pretend, feel ashamed. And fear. Shame is the last one I want to talk to you about. I've separated it for a moment. When we feel guilty, we feel bad about what we've done, that can actually be quite healthy. It can bring us to a consciousness that we need to correct something in our life. When guilt turns into shame, we start feeling bad about who we are. Then we start destroying ourselves. We can actually, in the measurement unconditional, in the six measurements of self-esteem, that last measurement, we can actually become so self-deprecating, so discouraged, so shameful, or full of shame, that we may start pondering what it's like to be, to have this planet without us on it. If anybody's in that space, I just want to encourage you to step back for a moment. If you need some assistance, get it immediately. Talk to someone, a professional, to guide you through this. Having been in that space, and you know, many of you know my story, that's a really dark night. The power in that dark night is once you've been there and chosen differently, you can tell when someone else is there. It can help encourage them. You can use it as your empathy to understand. This shame is a very deadly, deadly place. We get so depressed and overwhelmed, feeling there is no hope. We're without hope, hopeless, when we are feeling shameful, when we're full of shame. So the objective is to turn our thoughts from ourselves to others. That's quality number one. The idea is to own our genius. That's using our mind constructively, getting an inspired idea that ignites our passion and being in passion. Authentic, anthosectic, is being disciplined and structured, embracing our true goodness because we want to, get to, choose to. This is powerful. And letting go of the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. When we do this, we are practicing the highest level of maturity. Now, I'd like to spend a few moments talking about the four major causes of challenges in self-esteem. Some of them we've already been working on through the previous five qualities of an intentional creator. Because the number one, the most common, that if you were given a percentage, like 80% would fall into this category. We are beating ourselves up from a sequence. The sequence is that in the bottom right-hand side of our assessment, in the area of goal-oriented or honorable, we're creating expectations for how the world should show up, how our world should be showing up, and how we should be showing up in that world. And some of you have such vivid visualization that wherever it's going, the same brain chemistry, brain circuitry has occurred that would occur if you're actually there. So think about this. In the last 24 hours, have you used this thought process to go to a time when all the problems are solved and start imagining what that would be like? Have you spent time in discouragement and frustration? That's an expectation. Either place. We now show up in life, and the tangible realities of life are either a validation of our frustration, or they're falling short of our fantasy, and we're frustrated, And so we turn inward and ask questions such as, what's wrong with me? Seems like everybody else is okay. It seems to be working for them. What's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? And we start playing out in our lives everything we've ever done where we've fallen short. Well, the truth is we've all fallen short many, many times. The story I tell in the back of the book when I didn't fill the trailer when I was down in Raton, New Mexico with the rocks. Those of you who've read that in the book. And it was raining. And I've got all kinds of reasons why I was coming back with this semi-trailer full of, it was only 25% full of rock. But then realizing my boss pays the same for a truck no matter how full it is. And it was a real blow to his business. And now every day I get down at the end of the day and I've got a moment where I say, is the trailer full? Is the trailer full? That experience has been turned into a very positive thing where I can look back and say, wow, yeah, is the trailer full? No. Let's get it filled. Just do one more thing, as Og says in Scroll 3. Just one more thing. End the day on a success. Create an insurmountable advantage over those who quit at a prescribed time. This is a powerful piece. If we don't do this, we're going to create this expectation, turn inward, say, gosh, everybody else is doing okay. What's wrong with me? Maybe God doesn't love me. That's how deep we can go with this. And perhaps you've been in this space. I felt that space. I long to cry to the God of my youth, but the God of my youth will not hear my cry. I must change my God or change my cry. And I discovered I had nothing to do with God. It had everything to do with what I was expecting. I changed the way I was using my thought process. That's why the second quality is focused on having us use this vivid visualization constructively. So we're in this piece of using it constructively so that we can get an inspired impression. It'll manifest an inspired impression, idea, solution to a challenge. Lights up part of our brain, our passion. That's why we teach that second, so that we can start working on this number one major, major cause, which is an unmet expectation. That's it. Unmet expectation. And in today's world, sometimes it could be a reasonable expectation, but still unmet. Most of the time, it's unreasonable. Most of the time we put pressure on life to deliver something that cannot be delivered in a period of time with the effort we're expending. So that's number one cause. The next one, number two. Now this one is not in your current studio. I added it to the new book, the next book coming out, Embracing Your Uniqueness, Intentional Creation on Self-Esteem. I want to share it with you. It's called Comparison. Now, if you look at your assessment, the second measurement down is confident. When it's orange, the number one cause for it to be orange is comparison. We're looking at our clay, and we want somebody else's. I really want his money, her car, his body, her hair. We're comparing ourselves against others. Now, this is a deadly place. Because comparison can be played out in two different ways. One, we are looking at someone else and feeling less than. And the other is kind of subtle, but just as damning. We may be looking at them and judging them and feeling better about ourselves. So we're always in comparison. They're better, they're worse. If I've got more underneath me than above me, I'm feeling better about myself. And the invitation is to stop the process altogether. So we've been given our own clay. We're going to want to take this clay and create the most we can with it. This is when we go into physical creation. Because this measurement is about our physical world. How do we view ourselves in terms of appearance, possessions, accomplishments, skills, talents? And we go into taking the clay and creating the most we can with it. We go into passion-driven action, living in the now. That's physical creation. That's why we teach that third. to help us deal with this comparison piece. So once we're really fully present and we're taking our clay, creating the most we can with it, we can care what other people have for clay, but it doesn't affect us. That's our clay. This is what we've been given. What could we do with this clay? I just had an aha. Wow, that was a private aha. I'll share that with you later, sweetheart. Just a moment. This is our clay. This is what we've been given. So let us stay in this space. This is a powerful piece. So first, unmet expectations. Number two, comparison. This is a deadly one. And it's impacting a lot of people. And it's interesting that for men, it's generally finances. For women, it's generally body types. Well, there can be exceptions to that, but that's the most typical that we find as we're doing our coaching. Now, the third cause of challenges in self-esteem is when the fragile underpinnings of trust have been damaged. And they can be really fragile. It could be when you're a small child. It could be when you're a teenager. It can be when you're an adult in a challenging relationship where you're working for someone who is not valuing your contribution or even being critical, and all of a sudden we're laid off. This can happen when someone's been working somewhere, pouring their heart into a place. There's an economic challenge. They have to let people go, and you're the next one, and you're gone. And all those years you poured into them, and they let you go with a two-week or three-month severance package, and it's over. Thank you. Done. Gone. Over with. Maybe a COBRA health insurance for a period of time. Expensive insurance policy, but available for a short period of time. This is so common in today's economy. I see devastated people whose identity came from their work. So we go all the way from emotional and sexual abuse as a child to emotional abuse as a teenager and adult. A lot of different options. So if you've got challenges in these measurements on your assessment, just pause for a moment and say, is there anything that happened to me that might be a residual still hanging out there? If it's a serious offense such as abuse, it may require some intervention from a therapist. I'm a coach. It means I help you move forward, but some are still stuck in some of these places. You may want to engage a therapist who's trained in this area to help you process through this. Some wonderful therapists that I've met who can help people get past this piece of life so they can begin to move forward. It's a very common piece. The fourth one. So the third one is fragile underpinnings of trust that have been broken. The fourth one that can happen is secrets. Secrets create challenges in self-esteem. Secrets, I've added one to the secrets because of some recent experiences in coaching. Secrets can be alcohol and drug abuse. A secret can be an eating disorder. A secret can be if your belief system believes differently, it could be infidelity. That's a secret. Someone's having an affair, emotional or physical. Such a deadly piece, not only to a companion, but to our own esteem. Because if you're watching on the screen, on the computer, we've got my left hand I'm holding up as if this is the facade I present to the world. This is, you know, my very best self. And then I've got this fist behind it. This is my secret self. And when I step back and I look at this, I might feel shameful about it. It's a secret. I don't want anybody to know. And these are serious secrets. These aren't little things like I just yelled at my kids last night or something. These are secrets that if the world knew, if they were shouted from the rooftops, we would be devastated. Devastated. Personal, secret things. And we're not sure who we are. Am I this person presenting myself to the world? Or am I this despicable human being with this challenge? We can feel that way. If you're watching this on camera, you'll notice that I'm observing these two. What I present to the world, what I do in private, I'm not either one of these. I'm the observer of this. The true self, my real, genuine, authentic self is closer to what I'm presenting to the world. It's just my personal behavior right now is not consistent. It's not congruent with what I'm presenting. Being authentic, anthocentric, embracing my good self, is to embrace my goodness. It's to act on my own moral authority, to make a different choice, to do the right thing for the right reason, because I want to, get to, choose to. And knowing that some of these addictions require intervention, maybe a 12-step program, something that can help me, support me, get a mentor, someone who can guide me through this process, who's been there, who's working their way through it. But this is the fourth and final cause of self-esteem. There are other reasons why people struggle with self-esteem, but you can take most of them and break them into these four categories. Unmet expectations, comparison, fragile underpinnings of trust, and secrets. To just reflect and say, gosh, is there anything that fits into any of these categories for me? It's going to walk you through a process. For those of you who've been through a 12-step program, this has got some similar elements, just slightly different, but it's a process for all of us. If you've got a copy of my book, you'll know in the first three chapters that I'm excruciatingly vulnerable. I was addicted to the ownership of stuff. That was who I was. I was my stuff. Whatever your addiction might be, something we can't let go of. If we look at this process and we say, okay, Dave, I get it. I'm going to start focusing outward. So I start focusing on other people. And I get to use all of my life experiences to better understand what somebody else is going through. I am safe because I'm listening. I create a safe place by the empathetic questions I ask, born of my own life experience. Walls come down. Cooperation, productivity floods over me. And I start to fill my cup. This is the only way our cup gets filled. Victims want that cup to be filled by other people. You know, this person looks okay. They look like they got plenty. Please understand me. Please give to me. Please listen to me. I'm needy, needy, needy. Except for they only give a little. Truth, that's all they've got. Looks like they've got more, but that's it. We just drain them, so we move to the next one, drain them. Next one, drain them, drain, drain, drain. We're draining everybody, and we're still not satisfied because you can't get enough from other people to be happy. One of the greatest sources of joy and happiness is when we turn outward and we truly listen. Create safe places, take down walls, cooperation, productivity floods out to us. This is a beautiful place for us to be. So we want to get into that space. We want to use our mind constructively so we start getting that inspired idea, acting on it, going, wow, that was inspired. I must matter. I can trust and am trusted. I know and I'm known. These are powerful pieces. Well, let's go into this process. This process says, okay, let me know myself. Let me know myself. This is an inventory. Ramon and I recently did a little piece of this in terms of our life together and some of the things we're working on in terms of getting this fixed or that changed, you know, get this off and get this repaired, or let's get this written. It's an inventory. We want to do an absolute thorough inventory of our life, our current financial situation, our past financial dealings, our emotional condition, our spiritual condition, our relationships, our businesses, our careers. What's the truth? What's the inventory? Now, for some, this could all be negative. You're doing a 12-step program. Quite often, the inventory are all the mistakes I made because of my addiction. Yes, those mistakes will be on this list. But we also want to embrace in this list our strengths, our goodness, the things that we've done to bless a person's life. We want to list all those pieces. So we've got an idea, this inventory of our life, things we own. Things we have debts. What are our debts? Let's make a full inventory. Know thyself. you could add, know thy circumstances. Know the truth about where we really are. Now, this analysis doesn't create a problem. If we're overwhelmed by the experience, all it's doing is revealing. This is an important distinction. We are not creating the problem. We're simply revealing what is. And the truth is, we cannot grow as a person. We cannot be real, genuine, and authentic by choosing confusion or ignorance. It requires that we become aware of what's real. That's required. And for our self-esteem to heal, which is a key component of being real and genuine and authentic, that's the definition of self-esteem, then we're going to want to know. Now, once we know, it's all there in front of us. Now, we could call what I just described our clay. This is our clay. Height, weight, health, our finances, our relationships, our debt, our assets, our strengths. Here's our clay. There it is sitting right in front of us. There's our clay. Wow. Now, some of you are going to get this made, and you're going to go into overwhelm, and that's okay. It's just wonderful. That is a stage of awareness, overwhelm. And we just start to become more okay with this, because some of us still are living in a fantasy. We're pretending that it's different than it is. Or remember, we're without the need to impress and pretend or feel shame or fear. We just want to own this. Because number one is becoming aware. Know thyself. And step number two, choose thyself. Choose thyself. But I don't want this, Dave. I don't want this. I want to be someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. And the interesting piece is, it's not an option. It's just not an option. And if we're struggling with, why can't I change my life, one of the major reasons why we're unable to change our life is we have not taken this inventory and chosen our life. We just want things to be different without changing us. For our circumstances to change, we must change. For things to get better, we must get better. Dan McCormick, one of my dear friends, says that all the time. So if we truly want to create a different set of circumstances in our life, we'll want a full inventory, and we'll want to choose us. I choose me. Now, you could be discouraged sometimes. I can be there. It's easy to get discouraged, but we don't want to be in discouragement. We just want to start taking what's real, and step number three, start creating a different outcome. Now, take the assets we have, the options that are available, and begin the process of creating something different. This is when the magic begins. We're feeling more whole and complete because we're real about our circumstances. And we're beginning the process of building something better. That's the creation piece. We may be surprised how deep we must go to find ourselves, to get to bedrock. We're also going to be surprised just how high we can build with what we've already been given. This is a beautiful piece. So we create. We create until our cup is overflowing. And we give from excess. That's number four. Give thyself. So know thyself. Choose thyself. Create thyself. Give thyself. We give from a cup that's overflowing. Now, before we choose confusion, just make sure that we're absolutely clear tonight, because there's going to be natural resistance to doing this inventory. What's the truth of it? As Ramona said this morning, when you see all of this on a spreadsheet, it makes decisions so much easier. Here it is. What do we do about this situation? It's right here. Okay, let's talk now about solutions to take that to the next level. A beautiful place to be. Let's create something that can be created with the circumstances. Well, you can't do that. If you happen to have a home where the mortgage is more than the value of the home, you're probably not going to create more value in the home. Not in today's marketplace. So you're going to want to find and create solutions within the parameters of what you've been given. That's what you do. It's my next door neighbor, blocked down. I saw him over the weekend, and he's got his home listed. He's got a beautiful home and a beautiful pool house, two lots together. It's just a fabulous piece of property. He spent $1.2 million building it. And it's on the market for $999, $899, now $799. And he was lamenting the fact he's getting ready to retire, and he's got a $400,000 hit in hard costs. Not the value of what he had imagined it was worth, in actual out-of-pocket money, $400,000 hit. Well, we can spend time being angry about that, in resentment and frustration and lashing out at the powers to be, or we can say those are our circumstances, what are our options, and make wise decisions based on the options that are available for the value that's present. That would be an example of something in our life. And we create the very best option. And we start to feel better about ourselves. We're now owning us. Now, these are things, but they're part of our life. We're also owning a challenge or a weakness, a fear that we might have. We're diving into it. Maybe there's something I've been avoiding, so I jump into it. Whatever's in this inventory. Know thyself, choose thyself, create thyself, give thyself. Okay? We're just about there. It is so important that we go back, starting next week, with quality number one. If you've got some self-esteem challenges that are still showing up in your assessment, let's go back through this one more time, but let's go back through it with a different intention. Our intention is to find ourselves, really know ourselves, and take on any fears or doubts or confusion. Create the most we can with who we are, with what we've been given. And knowing that when we do, we will actually be endowed with even more opportunity, more clay. Og says, I seek not gold or garments or even opportunities equal to my ability, which would be my current ability. Instead, guide me that I may acquire ability, new ability, equal to my new opportunity. If we need new opportunity, let us find out where we are. Let us come back to quality number one, and let's begin the process of getting this stuff out of our sack, because some of this is in a sack. We've been dragging some of this stuff around. Let's get up here in our heart next week. So it's part of our reference point. It's no longer a burden. It's now going to be used as a way to bless another person. Let me start stepping into a person's world, listening, being a safe, creating a safe place, taking those walls down, and starting to become plugged into this planet. We will start to be real. Then let's start to use our mind constructively to get those inspired ideas to ignite our passion. Let's become genuine. Let's use our strengths. Let's become authentic in doing these things for the right reason, because we want to and get to and choose to. And as we go through these six qualities, we come back to self-esteem next time, about 10 weeks from now. Let us be in a different space, feeling more whole and complete, where we can walk out into the public and it's no longer about us. We don't have any fear when we walk into a place with people we don't know. We're just there, present, listening, curious, interested, exploring. What a great way to live. So come back next week ready to take on this first quality, connection with people, and let us begin the journey, because this truly is a journey to heal self-esteem. Now you know some of the causes. Gosh, am I unmet expectations? I want to pay attention this time. Am I comparing? I want to pay attention this time. If I have the fragile underpinnings of trust damaged, yeah. I wonder if anyone else is suffering from a similar wound. Or is there a secret? What would happen if I chose differently? And I chose to be my authentic self. And and I began the process of healing from that addiction, what would be different 10 weeks from now? If I'd been clean and sober for 10 weeks, I'd avoided some of those harmful places for 10 weeks, how much different would you feel about yourself? This is an opportunity to begin a new life. So in preparation for next week, I want you to read scroll number 4. Let it fill your soul. Not feel, fill. Fill your soul. Every morning when you get up, say, I want to feed my soul. And read it. Every noon or midday, read it. Let it fill your soul. Just before you go to bed, read it again. Let it start to fill your soul. And begin the process of making your inventory. Let's get really clear on what we've got to work with. Let's choose that. And then let's bring that to the process next week and begin this process, going through it one more time. But this time, at a depth we've never been. Oh, I've heard that before. Yes, this isn't about what you've heard before. What are we applying? What are we actually doing differently because of this? And let us come prepared to actually shift and do something different. Become real, genuine, authentic. Let go of the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear, and know what it feels like to feel mature. Okay, everybody ready? That's where we're headed. Come back next week. Let's get started with this. We'll begin this journey again. I'm so excited to be here with you. And I love this opportunity to serve you every Tuesday night. I pray that what was shared tonight maybe has had you think about this a little differently, so that you can start to find more joy in your life. Come back next week. Let's take this on. Well, thanks, everybody.